Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Mike Bletzer with Doug Larson, Chris Moore, and our guest, Heather Welsh. Yes, that's how you say it.
You got it.
And Joe Weigel. Both of them CrossFit Games competitors. And we happen to all be down in Miami hanging out. And we were like, hey, come by the house. And they were like, for sure.
Less house, and more Coke Mansion, really.
And yeah, it's this house was bought with cocaine money, for sure. Yeah.
So, is that a heated pool?
Yes, it's a heat. But before we get to talking about Miami and Wadapalooza, make sure you go to barbellshrug.com, sign up for the newsletter, and learn about those 8 snatch mistakes you might be making that are keeping you from becoming the best weightlifter you can be.
And?
I said that very elegantly
what
today.
What else is in the video?
You practice.
The news.
Rich Froning's abs.
Oh, yeah. You'll get to see Rich Froning's abs.
Always a treat.
If everyone watching this hasn't seen Rich Froning's abs like 1,000 times.
Yeah, but one more time is not going to hurt anybody.
1,001
is
just what you need. Looking at me like, yeah, like, he's right. She looks pretty excited, actually.
Girl, what are you talking about?
So we have 2 Ohioans here. Y'all are both from the Central East. We've seen y'all compete at regionals because we're in the same region. What brings you all the way down to Miami, Florida?
For me, Guido actually invited me. I was supposed to come down last year. And last year
you totally blew him off.
I totally did. Yeah. So, you know, I had something to make up to him. And it just seemed a little bit warmer than Columbus at the present
moment. It's a cold winter.
Yeah.
It's a very cold winter right now. Yeah. We were like negative 12, I think, a week ago.
I don't even know what that feels like.
Yeah.
It feels so cold, it burns.
It takes everything out of you, that's for sure. So it just seemed like a good event. And so here I am.
So it's like an excuse to take a vacation and get better at CrossFit.
Yes, absolutely. It's a good excuse.
Now, is this something that you actually peaked for, or you just like keep your training totally normal and you just come down here, do it for the weekend, then you just go right back to what you were doing and no change in your training because you're looking further into the future to regionals and the games and whatnot?
Exactly. Yeah, I didn't peak for it. It's just, you know, one of those things where I train and then come to Miami.
Just where you're at, right?
So exactly. It's a good opportunity to see where you are compared to other athletes.
Don't you think people should do that more often?
Absolutely.
It's an epidemic where people take it so seriously all the time.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Like you're practicing competing.
Yeah.
The audience might pick up me begging the question there because it's actually what I was thinking. I
heard the tone of your voice.
What about you, Joe?
Yeah.
You guys live 2 hours away. Yeah. That's what I just learned. So y'all are both from Ohio, but you're not from the same town.
Mm-hmm.
So you're a couple hours away. What brought you here?
I got my flight covered. So,
I'm
coming.
Yeah. The truth comes out.
Yeah, it was a cool event. Awesome venue. I saw pictures and stuff from last year, and it just looked like something to be really cool to
be
a part
of. Nice
so.
This is like the nicest CrossFit competition I've been to that's not the games.
I agree.
This is awesome.
Isn't it?
I'm having a lot of fun.
Yes.
What got your attention the most? What's the best part of it so far?
Basically, the best part of it so far has been the Barbell Shrug speaking events. You know, the workshops that we're holding.
They haven't happened yet, but they're going to be awesome.
By the time this posts, they will have happened.
Clever, man.
Yeah.
Well, it's just the fact that we're in Miami and the competition is happening down on the water.
Yeah.
If you're from Memphis or Ohio, that's awesome.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah.
So how many platforms are there for competition? 3 or 4? Or platform stages?
3.
Or whatever.
3, I think.
One of them is literally just hanging over the water. It's gorgeous. Yes. So like 3 big rogue racks, 3 big platform, and all that shit.
Everyone from Miami is complaining about the weather. They're like, oh my God, I'm walking around in a t-shirt and everyone's like got hoodies and parkas on. And they're like, dude, Mike, you're so hardcore. I'm like, no, I'm just
Are you
from-
sure you're not just injecting those words?
I'm pretty sure I heard the words hardcore.
I find a lot of people that are from Miami, they're apologizing for the weather.
Yes, yeah.
I'm so sorry, it's 70 degrees. It's never like
Everywhere
this.
Everywhere else, it's torture.
Yeah, you're like, it's 80 degrees warmer.
It's not enough fucking warm.
My cab driver tonight is wearing a jacket and he's like, how are you doing this? And I'm like, man, dude, I don't think it's that bad.
The guy at the sunglass store.
That guy's definitely from Cuba, where it's even warmer. So
the guy at the sunglass store, he was like, you're not wearing a jacket? He's like, it's freezing down here. I'm like, dude, it's 30 degrees warmer than where we come from. So
yeah, I was telling people, I was awesome. Like, when I left, I looked out my back door, and the swimming pool was frozen. So that's what I tell people. And I'm like, that's the way it was when I left. So this is perfectly fine. They're like,
oh. That's how unfair my life is, man. My pool is currently frozen. That's it. The best part I liked today about the competition, of all the things I liked about the competition, seeing the athlete area. It's dope. It's like very spacious.
Oh, yeah.
Tents with mad amounts of couches and seating space.
Spread out wide.
Pallets of coconut water. I'm assuming anybody you need a refreshment, you get a coconut water.
Oh, they're treating the athletes well here, are they not?
Yeah. Our athlete village is on the beach. We got chairs set up like right on the water.
You got your personal athlete village set up?
We're like, we're going right there to the beach.
Yeah. You don't get that shit in powerlifting and weightlifting.
No, they give you just a floor.
In a very crowded warm-up room with not enough weights, and it's in the back of some shitty hotel conference room. You know, I mean, how many times have you been in one of those? This is luxurious.
Plenty of times. All right, Joe, how'd you do today so far? This is the end of day one.
You know,
drinking booze?
Yes.
And you compete the rest of the weekend?
Like I said, it's not regional.
We're the ones talking. We're allowed to drink booze.
I don't get to go to Miami.
It's okay. So. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah. How often am I going to get to come to Miami? So I figured I might as well enjoy myself. I don't even know what place I'm in. I think the first one I was like fifth.
And dude,
the second one I think I was around fifth. So I haven't seen the overall leaderboard. So I don't know.
What are you looking to get out of it though? Check your status.
I just want to see how I stood up against some good athletes here.
Like a temperature check, right?
Yeah. See where I'm at. You know, I'm going to keep my training focused on regionals, but. You know, it's good to be able to participate in something like
this. Do you have anyone here specifically that you're looking at to see like how you match up against?
No.
That you've been like chasing for a while or anything like that?
No, there's I'm the only guy from the Central East that's here, so.
Do you think this is indicative of what might happen at regionals?
It's a pretty open-ended question.
In terms of the weather?
Well, there's some competitions where you go to it, and then, you know, you might place 50th, but then you show up. If you were to show up to regionals that same weekend, you'd place third.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean?
You know, I don't think you can read too much into these kind of competitions. I mean, I think it's great competing, but, you know, Scott Panchak got fourth at the same competition last year, and he's been fourth at the games the past 2 years, so... Yeah, you know, I'll take it for what it is. You know, it's a good comp, good time to get out there with good athletes, but regionals comes, it's a different beast. So I'm not going to look at it like if I get first, you're like, oh man, I got this. Or if I get last, you know, I'm screwed. You know, you got to stay focused on what regionals is. So
yeah,
the wise man once said, don't count your chickens before they're hatched. Whatever that means.
Don't put all your ducks in one egg. That's the one I heard.
Yeah, don't put all your ducks in one. No, you come here not to compare, not to do whatever. Like you're seeing where you're at. You're making sure you're ready. That there's no glaring weakness before you go into this competitive season, right?
Yep.
I think the thing I always say in like recommendation of powerlifting and weightlifting meets, like you go in just having fun. You're picking one target, one meet. Like if you're a weightlifter, it's like maybe 2 years out, 4 years out. If you're a CrossFitter, maybe it's the games next year. These acute events really mean nothing, to your point.
Yeah.
It's mostly about getting comfortable, mixing it up, and having fun, meeting all these people, building relationships.
Yeah, and it gets you prepared for that. You still get that nervous feeling before competitions, and you know that's something you got to deal with at regionals every year. So more used to that.
So we never actually got your guys' backgrounds coming from you. So maybe we'll start with Heather. Like, tell us a little bit about yourself, like how you got into CrossFit, and just give a little bit of like kind of your stats and like your big moments. That way, everyone that's watching that doesn't really know you that well kind of gets an idea of really who you are.
Yeah, I've always been an athlete my whole life, but after I have two children, and after my second, the women in my neighborhood, they were talking about this exercise class that they do, and
after you had kids, you got into CrossFit
afterwards. Wow. Yes, yeah. And so then they invited me along, and honestly, I pictured CrossFit to be a glorified boot camp that they did in a field, and I don't know where the field came from, but in my head. Oh boy!
Things our imaginations come up with.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It was 2009.
Okay.
Yeah. So I started, and the first gym I walked into was Graham Holmberg's gym, he was just coaching at.
Oh, you lucked out, and,
right? Yeah. Like, hello, nice to meet you.
Explains
I had no
why
idea.
4 years later, you're where you are.
Right, and he had just gotten back from his first games, and so. you know, I was kind of taking this all in. I just love the intensity of it. You know, it brought me back to, you know, the days that I played volleyball at Ohio State and that kind of training and goals. And
oh, you're an Ohio State girl.
I'm a Buckeye. Mm. Hell yeah.
Oh, man. Every time I go to Columbus, I can't stand to see all the Ohio State stuff. There's nothing else but
There's nothing else. It's so disgusting. No, it's really bad.
It's like I want to gouge my eyes out.
Is there something wrong with being proud of your home team?
No, I get it. There's nothing else.
There isn't. You're right. It is different.
Y'all are committed.
Else.
That's not true. You've got that big ass sandwich they sell.
There's only the
doppelganger or whatever. It's this giant sandwich that they have near the Ohio State Stadium. It's like a challenge. If you can eat it, you can
play. Yeah.
That's a burger place.
There's only one other town that I'm familiar with that is like Columbus, Ohio, is about the Buckeyes, and that's Pittsburgh and the Steelers.
Oh, and the Steelers, yeah.
Those are the only two cities I know of where, like, they're all in on that one thing, and it's just like...
The Steelers thing is everywhere, though. People take that shit really seriously.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Sorry for cutting you off, but
no,
the Buckeye thing just got me all fired up.
Go Bucks. That's right. You can say it.
I need some more exciting things to get you fired up.
So, yeah, that's in a nutshell, that's how I got involved in CrossFit, and, you know, they asked me to be a part of the team that year, and that's when there was still, you know, sectionals and regionals that it was kind of like all over the place. Everybody did their own region.
Oh, the sectional. That was a fun year.
It was a fun year. It was great.
Yeah,
but so different from what we do now. So,
yeah.
And then the following year, just kind of trained towards making it as a team to the games, and we did. And then in 2012, I made it as an individual. And 2013, I finished 8th at regionals. So I'm working my way back up to...
It sounds like a bug bit you pretty quick. You got right into it, like you got on a team, and before you know it, you're in the games, basically.
Yeah. And I was fortunate enough to have Graham there, you know, just working with me, and he recognized that I was an athlete and that I could potentially do good things and perform well. And I just kind of walked in the right place at the right time.
So
I was very lucky.
You made the games the year previous to this one, and you didn't make it this year. You placed 8th at regionals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, something similar happened to Michelle Kenny.
Yes.
And we had her on the show, and we, you know, she had that big comeback this past year. What do you think about that? Do you feel the same way?
That would be great. Obviously, you know, that's what I'm training for, is to make it back to the games as an individual. However, you know, I'm in a different place in my life than I was last year. Last year, I'm a teacher. I teach second grade.
Oh, cool.
And
bless you and your amazing levels of patience.
It's the best job in the entire world, besides being a mom. But
I don't know. Podcast looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I see that. Yes.
I bet you can also bake a perfect apple pie. You're shaping up to be like an all-American mom. I crush wads. Here's fresh apple pie.
There's Chris's imagination running away with him here.
It's the next logical step, really.
But, you know, last year I stopped teaching. I ran a CrossFit gym. And that was, you know, besides my children, my entire life was CrossFit. And this year I'm back to having more balance in my life. And that works best for me. So, who knows if I make it to the games.
Are you teaching again? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
so that's balance.
I have balance in my life.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, when I'm in the gym, I have, you know, like 2 hours, and those are my 2 hours. And if I don't get in what I need to get in, then I don't get in.
So just training at the gym. You're not coaching or doing any administrative or management stuff?
I'm coaching just one night a week, just 2 hours. So it's
just for fun, basically.
So maybe it was a little bit of burnout, like too much of exposure to like a little distraction and too much.
Yeah. I think I lost the fun in CrossFit. I didn't do any competitions. You know, I was doing a lot of volume all year, and it was CrossFit. You know, my whole day was structured around it, around my training. And, you know, I kind of lost sight of what's important in the big picture. So.
Yeah, it's funny. So you go back to that, and then the results come back.
Yeah.
That's what's beautiful. Like, people are obsessed that if I'm not working as hard as I can, I'm not going to get the results I want. It's just not subjectively, demonstrably not true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you feel better, you know, and it's not so... I was crushed when I didn't make it to the games this past year.
Yeah.
You know, really, really crushed. And I feel like this year there's not so much emphasis on I've got to make it to the games or that's it. You know, it's just more of like I'm doing this for fun, and it brought me back to the roots of why I actually started CrossFitting.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very
so,
cool.
So that is actually different than maybe Michelle Kinney a little bit.
That's good. But yeah.
Everyone's got their own path
and journey. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Without a postcard. I think everyone's got their own path, man. Your path is this one.
Quote me. What about you, Joe? Your background?
I started in, I think, 2008. I was a senior in high school.
Go up to the mic. There you go.
Started in 2008.
Sorry. You got to nuzzle it like it's something else. Getting, getting intimate with it, man.
2008, senior in high school. I think I tried.
How old are you?
Name 24.
Oh fuck! You're so young.
Shit, he's a kid.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're fucking old.
That's how I know I'm old when I go like 24 years old.
You are long in the tooth.
I wish I was 24 again.
No, you don't. Look at you. You got this beard and this, you're here. And there's so many great things happening in your life and shit.
I don't know. It's not very convincing. Sorry, Joe. Go ahead.
Yeah, so one of the first workouts I did was Fran. And
of course.
Yeah, you know, everybody seems to do that one first. And it took me like 11 minutes or something.
Yeah.
I didn't, I was doing kipping pulps, with my hands like facing this way and like doing a froggy kip and stuff, And I was like, man, I got crushed on that. I was like, anything that feels that bad has to be good for you. So I was always really competitive. So yeah, it seemed like something I could do that would be a good avenue that I could compete at.
Did you have a sporting background in high school and everything?
I play sports in high school, yeah, but nothing after
high school.
What did you play
in high school?
I ran cross country. I played football. And that was
ran cross country and played football.
Yeah, different years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So all the athletic abilities there. What'd you compete in cross country? I assume there's like different lengths of running. I never concerned myself with running.
It's all 5K.
5K.
Every time, yeah.
That's a lot of K's.
Yeah. Every time it's another 5K.
If you add up all the K's I've ever run, I don't think it's 5.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, much more fun to lift heavyweights.
So that's when I started, and then I've pretty much been competing ever since. I just wasn't very good at all at first. I was just a skinny little kid, like 170 pounds or something. Oh. So that's kind of my background, how I got started.
What do we know?
195.
Yeah, I mean, so it's solid.
So you just started CrossFitting in 2008 and kind of... Were you at a gym that was focused on like training for the games, or was it just kind of like show up and do the 45-minute WOD?
When I first started, I was doing it in the high school weight room.
Okay.
And
so you didn't start at a CrossFit gym?
Well, one of the teachers at the high school, he kind of started an affiliate out of the gym, out of the weight room.
Oh, cool. That's very interesting, actually.
It started there, and then it progressed, to the actual facility eventually.
It's a lot better than you get at most high school gymnasiums. Like we say, usually it's like a very loose interpretation and a bad utilization of like bigger, stronger, faster, whatever the old program was. That when I was like in the late 90s, when I was in high school, everybody did this program because it came out of some mysterious coaching association. Well, shit, it's what you need to do.
That was the very first time I ever heard of a clean and jerk was at a bigger, faster, stronger convention in a high school weight room.
I remember us executing that program the classic way. Strap that bar up, pick it up, get that weight swinging, get it swinging, and then reverse curl. And now you are a fucking powerful football athlete at that point.
I have literally been taught that. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Like 15 years ago, that's exactly what I was taught. Slam it off your thighs and just pick it up right to here.
And that is...
You don't want to like bang your collarbones though, so keep it out here.
That's not so.
Away from your collarbones. That was bad.
Well, you're very fortunate, man, to get exposed to something that's, a lot of people argue about, getting into the weeds about whether it's the best thing for athletes. But I think for well-rounded, competitive, sporting folks, teaching you good technique and a clean and jerk and a snatch. I mean, where else can you get that as a high school kid in most areas of this country?
Yeah, it's rare. Yeah.
Same with the soccer mom, same with the busy 45-year-old office worker. Like, when would you ever learn a cleaning joke in any other reality other than if it was through CrossFit? So I always fall back on that. Yeah.
So if you were doing D1 volleyball, you said, yeah. So yes. You guys have a dedicated strength coach, and were you doing cleans and stuff before yeah. you ever came to CrossFit?
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Okay, so you had a good background coming in.
I did. You know, everything was taken off of blocks, though.
Okay.
So not directly from the floor.
I can see that being okay for a pure volleyball player.
Yeah, for volleyball, it was great. It was great. But I hadn't, oh my goodness, I hadn't done that since in like years, probably like 5 years.
Yeah.
And so it was an adjustment coming back. But once I just picked up the bar and just started working again with, you know, my movements, it came back pretty quick.
So you say years, you've got a couple kids.
Yeah.
How old are you?
31.
Oh, she.
I didn't think she was going to tell you. Yeah. I thought she was going to go, shh.
That's the secret. Ask the lady how old she was on the radio.
I know. That was ballsy. Man. This is being recorded.
It's okay.
I had to ask. It was just like, man, I was starting doing math in my head and it got hard. So I just asked.
Carry the one. She must be either 22.
I was trying to do it.
I don't know. So it's obvious that all that came back relatively quickly because that is a pretty steep ascension to games, like just 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
The work came back quick.
It did. You know, I think that just with, I think the biggest hole that I had was you know, endurance. In volleyball, we really didn't run long distance a whole lot.
Right.
And so the longer workouts kind of, you know, sat me back, and those are the ones that
What's a longer workout?
Back in the day, it was like 20 minutes, you know.
That's a long workout.
That's a long
for me.
Workout. Right. Like where I excelled at the 8-minute workouts, you know, like go and I'm good.
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. It's the most fun. But yeah. And so last year I hired Doug Katona at the time he was with CrossFit Endurance and he really, you know, built my engine up so that I could handle the longer workouts and gave me more endurance.
What did you guys do to build the engine?
Oh my gosh, I ran and ran and I ran. Yeah, and then I ran some more. A lot of, you know.
I know Doug and Brian McKenzie are both big fans of like a lot of sprinting for building the engine.
That's what we did. And yeah. I did a lot of 400s, 800s, you know, and then it put me in a very uncomfortable position, which is exactly where I needed to be in order to kind of to build that engine to where it is now. And so now he's no longer my coach, but, you know, I think that work, it's paid off.
Right.
So
I think people assume that if you hadn't had it, it's somehow a disadvantage. Like I never ran, so maybe I can't give this a go. It's actually, I don't think that's actually true. Cause what do you have? Moving really well, athletic ability, a toughness. You can dedicate yourself to whatever. Cause it's not easy. I was a college athlete. It's kind of a shitty one, but I was a college athlete. I went to school. It's hard to survive college. It's pretty actually tough when you're going to study all and you're doing all the mandatory hours.
Yes.
You're going to class at like 8 a.m., 6 a.m., like, well, I had like 4 a.m. to like 6 a.m. conditioning sessions. It's really tough.
It is.
And you can come out of that and you have a new challenge. Like, I have something I've never done, 800 meter sprints or whatever. People think, well, you'll suck at that. Well, actually, no. You have a new ripe area of adaptation
that you
take
that
experience to and put it to with no expectation. Other than I got to make it work, and that's how you get a huge increase in that ability.
Absolutely.
It's not true that you haven't done it, so you're somehow going to suck at it forever. It's not true.
I agree.
Yeah. Like me, I went back from doing a powerlifting, then over low bar style squat, doing high bar squats. And also, I'm squatting like a brand new person, even though I'm broke down and beat up. Like, it's not true that if you haven't done it, you're not going to be good at it.
Exactly.
That actually brings up another thing. You guys live in Columbus, which is where Louie is. So do you guys go over to Westside and train over there at all?
I have never been over there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's crazy.
You got to go just for the banter.
I should go say hi to Louie.
You totally should.
Yeah, I know.
Tell him that we sent you over there.
I will.
Yeah. Okay, tell him we can.
Hey, Barbell Shrug sent me here.
You're shaking your head.
You won't remember. He's met me 3 or 4 times. You're like, who? Who's that guy?
That's right.
Not a bad. He just
be like the little guy. He'll go, oh, the little guy.
The crazy guy who did power cleans off a chair.
Against bands.
That's right. I was the only weightlifter willing to come in and do like banded power cleaning jerks.
The beauty about Louis is that he's a completely open-minded guy, actually. He'll try anything if he thinks it'll help people get better. And he's telling you what he thinks will honestly help you. There's no actually much of an agenda there. He's a great guy.
if you're looking to switch up your training, you want some more variety for your strength work, you will walk out of there with a bunch of shit you've never done before.
Yeah, that's, so that's you the beauty of it, right?
He once suggested that Doug do 100 leg curls.
Yeah.
With him. Well, all at once in one sitting?
Yeah. No, once.
Yeah. He goes, do 100 leg curls. Like, all right.
Well, first he told me to build up to a one rep max, super ultra wide, legs locked out, sumo deadlift, like as wide as I could go, like feet all the way to the bumpers, knees locked out, and just bend over and pick it up. He goes, build up to that, and then do 100 leg curls. Like, all right, I've never done that before.
How'd it go?
I got what I needed.
I didn't do it.
I was like, all right, you crazy bastard.
That's why you didn't pull that record deadlift.
That's right.
You should have taken his advice.
You could have
never PR'd ever again.
You could have been a world record powerlifter.
I know.
All right, we're going to take a break real quick. When we come back, we're going to find out the secret interval system that you were given by Doug Katona that made you a great athlete. And we're back. Oh, Tanner Tennyson just put his hand in my ass.
Lucky?
I don't know. Those crossover symmetry guys.
He's so
symmetrical.
Wild.
Oh, all right.
Tanner's just happy you got a plug on the show.
What were we supposed to, that's how you get plugs on the show. You just, you know, you goose me on the way out of the room.
You just feel it, Mike, and he won't stop talking about you.
That's right. What are we supposed to talk about?
That's putting a lot of pressure on the guests. No idea.
The special interval system.
Oh, top secret interval training.
Oh, yeah. Do you have any secret supplements you take?
Perfect food bars, yeah.
That's your secret power?
That's my secret power.
No.
Yes. Can I say, you keep some in
they
your
are
fridge.
Delicious.
You keep some in your fridge, and we go over there for to shoot the show, and I eat like five.
My wife hates you.
That's right. She said, yeah, any of my last time I said, bring your own fucking perfect food bars this time.
That's probably what she said.
Yeah.
Well, see, we actually have the perfect foods bar set up in my fridge at the house. Like every flavor.
Oh, yeah.
We just open the
like
fridge.
Like a vending machine.
We podcast at my house. We have the studio set up there and we do it there. So, and we just eat the bars in between
shows.
Yeah.
You know, that's really all it is. We're just standing there eating bars. This one's good. This one's the fucking honey one. Or
and I'll tell you what, since I started work eating perfect foods bars, I've gotten better abs.
More perfect.
How about you?
And oh,
half,
yes.
And
have
your
just
abs gotten better?
My abs have gotten better.
Yeah?
Damn.
Oh, shit.
It's not just me.
What's your favorite flavor?
I eat the peanut butter.
The
I just
peanut
crush
butter.
Peanut butter. Yeah.
Is that
almond butter?
Is that technically paleo? Yep.
I don't care.
Is it actually perfect if it's not paleo?
No. Okay. I don't know.
Who gives a shit?
You know, after our workout today, we go out to our chairs. And there is...
She looks embarrassed already.
Out on the beach, right?
Oh, okay.
And there's this giant rat that runs out of Heather's bag. And we're like,
holy
bag? We're like, what was it doing?
Holy shit.
It was eating the perfect food bars. And it was. We found one.
Was it jacked when it came out?
It was the size of a cat. It was the biggest rat I've ever seen in my life.
It was like the size of a cat and it was shredded probably.
It was.
I have Cuban rats down here, you know. You do.
No, it was steroids.
Oh. They speak Spanish. They're well tanned. They manscape. Ready for the beach. They wear neon.
They love cocaine.
They love cocaine.
It was wearing a neon thong.
Absolutely.
Is that what I heard?
And it went and ran right into the water. So it's going for a swim.
There you go. Can I ask, what's your? I know this is maybe like the vaguest question ever. From a diet perspective, so other kind of stuff. Supplements. What's your general take on supplements and food? Like, what's your general approach? Are you do you count up all the units of the zone thingy? What do the people do with the zone with the units and the blocks?
They take grams.
Do you measure everything blocks. Like an obsessive weirdo?
They take grams and convert them to confusing blocks.
Do you go paleo? Do you go paleo and go, well, if it's natural, I just fucking eat all I want because that's you can't get fat if you do that. Like that's the justification I give myself on Friday nights. Like, well, it's dark chocolate. If you really think about it, I can eat two bars, and it's really only like one bar of regular chocolate. What's your approach?
You know, it's taken me honestly some time to figure out what works best for my body, and for me personally, it's timing of what I'm eating and when. It wasn't necessarily
that's unique to you. It's just,
to me, yeah, and that's what I think. I don't think that a paleo does not work for me. Oh man, I'm a moody bitch. I'm paleo.
Let's get into that because that's the crank theme.
Yeah.
Why were you a moody bitch?
I was.
Your words.
My words.
Just reminding you.
Yeah, I'm just reminding you.
My words.
Why were you such a moody bitch?
I was a moody bitch because I felt tired all the time.
Go on.
I was exhausted. I felt weak. I didn't feel like I was strong. And so, you know, like paleo doesn't work for me. And so
that's like doing 2-a-days or just training once a day or.
That's
with
training.
No workout shake.
Yeah, just like every day how I'm feeling. You know, not necessarily.
Too little carb?
I honestly think so, yes.
It's tough to eat.
Everyone comes to that conclusion.
It's hard to eat like 100% paleo and get enough carbs to do like CrossFit.
Absolutely.
CrossFit athlete training.
Right.
It's different than doing a 45-minute WOD.
Right.
Like, or, you know, going in for 45 minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that it's great for people that need that lifestyle change, you know, that are, they're possibly overweight and they need
you
something.
You said that nicest possible way.
I'm trying to be
possibly overweight.
For people who need a lifestyle change, you could be overweight.
Gravity affects them.
If you're a fat pile up to like I was, you should be eating strict paleo. Yeah. You don't need the fucking potatoes, bro.
Right.
Lay off.
But I think paleo is great for people that need a lifestyle change. Not necessarily for me.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
It seems like CrossFitters geek out on energy systems a lot. And being a predominantly glycolytic sport for the most part, which is a super carb dominant sport, it's weird that they would be, at least the competitive athletes, so paleo friendly and not very carb friendly if it's a carb driven sport. It's
right.
Kind of a disconnect. So all competitors eventually realize that paleo most of the time is a good thing, but you still need higher carb paleo, if you will, if you want to be competitive at a high level.
Yeah. And if you want a cookie, have a damn cookie.
God bless you. Can I have a high five? To that point.
Yes.
To that. Well, I think paleo installs the lesson of like quality. Like you got to think of quality, but after that, you need the surplus to fuel what you're doing.
Sure.
That said, I mean, you got to have a delicious like go-to cheat meal. I want to know frequency. I want the details, the dirty, dirty details of every morsel. What do you go for?
Pancakes.
That's a good one.
It's honestly like pancakes are my favorite.
Oh, yeah?
So you like
favorite
pancakes
food.
Better than French toast?
Yes.
Oh shit! I don't know, man.
French toast is pretty damn good, though.
Yeah,
honestly.
That's
it
mine.
Really is.
Like if I have pancakes or French toast, French toast is.
What you do is you take. Here's a good one. You take like you get like a fucking pound cake. And you cut it into slices. You make French toast with that. You dredge it in the egg. You fry that shit in Kerrygold butter.
That's next level.
You top it with whipped cream cheese, and you hit it with a little honey.
Next level shit right there.
Ooh, honey.
That's the voice of experience right there.
Joe, what do you do for nutrition?
I get tsunami by accident, bro.
What do you do for nutrition, Joe? And
anything I want, anytime I want.
Well, you're fucking 24. This question is not valid for you, dude. When you become 35, then I want to know.
Every evening usually includes me eating peanut butter or Nutella. Like half the spoon peanut butter, the other half Nutella.
This dude's life is a cheat meal.
Yeah.
Well, you're a guy that was 170 who has been trying to put on weight for the last couple of years. So eating whatever the hell you want is actually probably beneficial for you keeping on as much mass as possible, especially as young as you are.
Some of the Rich Froning school of dieting. Fuck, I need calories. Hamburger.
How do you feel about how do you feel about Fruity Pebbles?
Oh, I'll eat them.
They're gluten-free, right?
So, I don't care.
You know what I'm saying?
they're now non-GMO. Like they took the genetically modified shit out of them, whatever that's worth.
That's why I feel good about eating Fruity Pebbles before
I go
to bed.
No, you're a cheat meal. You're a cereal guy.
I eat cereal.
You're a cereal and popcorn
right before you go
guy.
To bed?
Yeah, I eat cereal and popcorn. Yeah.
He's a cereal Doug, what's your favorite current cheat?
Favorite cheat?
Yeah, when you're having that Doug moment.
Most people wouldn't call this a cheat meal, but I'll go out and eat either sushi rolls or Thai curry with a ton of rice. Those are my favorite meals.
It's so crazy.
I know, it's crazy.
That's a fucking boring cheat meal.
Dude, I don't even think I'm cheating if I do that.
Me neither. No.
I'm like, man, I'm doing so good.
That's a question near and dear to my heart. And I think, what is my preferred cheat? And over years and years of eating ridiculous amounts of bullshit, I think carefully arrived at the idea that really all comes down to ice cream. God, man, there's just nothing. If you nail a salted caramel ice cream, I'll do whatever you want. I'll give you. You can have whatever you want of me.
I have to remember that.
Actually, I guess I left out the obvious. I left out the obvious on mine. I like little kid candy, like Skittles and Starburst.
Oh,
they're not a meal, but I love Skittles.
Yeah, what about
and
Swedish
then
fish?
People end up buying. Oh, Swedish fish are delicious too. All the fruity candies.
If you
love
want,
that shit.
If going into a tense business negotiation with Doug, bring Skittles and push them across the table. Here are my terms.
This guy can't keep Skittles in his house. If there's a pound of Skittles in his house, 2 days later, gone.
Well, what I do is, if I eat one, then I like really want them. So I only eat them right before I leave. I'll eat a few, and then I'll get in my car and I'll drive away. And by the time I get back to the house, like that, like shit, I wish I had more Skittles feeling has gone away. And then I can kind of contain myself for a while. So I figured out how to trick myself.
My strategy is like, if it's like you bring like tiramisu or some shit to my house, I go, there's only one path.
How often does someone bring tiramisu to your house? That's what I want to know.
Hopefully more often. If you bring anything over that like to my house, I'm like, I can't stop. Like, I have one path, and that's to make sure this is gone in the next hour. That's the only way I can survive. I gotta get this gone out of my house.
Right.
If it stays here, I'll eat a little bit every day, and I'll be 10 pounds heavier by this time next week.
So do you have a cheat meal or a cheat day?
I need to dial it back to a cheat meal. Like I said, I'm getting ready for my bodybuilding show. It's 65 weeks away. 185 weeks away. But usually it's the biggest thin crust pizza I can find, and 1 to 2 pints of Ben & Jerry's. You know who's got the best cheat meals? The best cheat meals come from the fucking Rock's Instagram feed. I agree. Like Joe Rogan talks about that.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Instagram feed of the Rock. He has like 48 donuts. Let's eat them.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, donuts are so good. I love donuts.
Or how the fryer at Krispy Kreme. Jesus.
I get Timbits for my kids' little donut holes. And I'm like, I'm not getting a donut. And I don't get a donut. But ask them for a donut hole.
How do you approach...
zero calories.
Right, but one donut hole, I'm like, well, if I have six, that's not a whole donut.
They disappear into your mouth magically.
I can't stop.
Keep putting them down. Yeah. How do you approach...
It's like dark matter, you know?
Yeah.
It's not real.
It didn't happen.
Yeah.
No.
I'm a parent as well.
She's like, sure. I don't know the hell you're saying, but I'll agree with you.
My second kid's on the way. You mentioned your kids. How do you deal with a kid who won't eat shit other than...
shit?
Like, the cheese crackers. Yeah. Like my kid's a little bit weird. He'll only eat like fruit and crackers. He won't eat like macaroni and cheese. He won't eat meat.
How old is he?
He's like two. He'll be 2.5 in a couple months. So he's in a dip. He's potty training. He took his first shit in the toilet.
Oh,
I'm very proud
so
of him.
That a boy.
Little Max, my boy, brought a tear to my eye. But man, they're picky and you're trying to, man, you need some protein. I'll shake up more muscle and milk and give it to him. He loves that. Causes a shock of milk. But other than that, dude, it's all this shit you say you're going to tell your kids, and it doesn't quite work when your kid won't eat.
No,
you're
it's the desperation most frustrating
mode.
Thing, and you're not alone in that. I think every parent.
So even as a top level CrossFitter, like, what the fuck do you do with them? Like, what do you feed them?
Honestly,
I'm about to get judged by all the paleo moms in the world.
Yeah, CrossFitters out there who are going to face is like, my kid won't eat the zone, units of berries I'm feeding him. What do I do? You're about to be retarded, right?
There's a block of strawberries. It's bigger than you are.
Yeah. Eat it.
No, I just think that, I think every kid goes through that stage where they just won't eat anything. But eventually, you want them to be kids and enjoy childhood, right? Because otherwise they're going to get to middle school and they're going to go to that lunchroom and they're going to get the macaroni and cheese and the pizza and the stuff that you've deprived them of. So I just say...
What if they never go to school? Here
comes a libertarian, man.
Sorry. I put the weird spin on things.
She's like, well, that's a bit of a jump from what I was talking about. But okay, well, they don't miss school.
Really. I mean, she went on like the whole, they go to school and they get exposed to these things. What if they were never to get exposed to those things? Do you think you'd do it different?
No. I think that I enjoyed my childhood because my parents let me be a kid and have, not necessarily the most healthy food. I mean, we ate healthy, but I was able to have candy and I could have macaroni and cheese and pizza.
I feel like if you can sneak in enough good stuff, the little metabolisms are so amazing. They just crush everything else.
My kids aren't getting anything but 100% paleo.
Well, do you have children right now?
No.
Yeah.
I know what I'm talking about. I'm just playing.
That's the funniest thing is when, some of my friends that are pregnant or just having babies, they're like, oh yeah, I'm going to do my, homemade, I'm going to bake everything
you
and
don't
freeze
know what the
it.
Fuck you're talking
and
about.
I'm like, yeah, we'll see about that.
You know who's got the best line about that is Louis C.K. when he's like, you ever seen like a mom and like at McDonald's and the kid's like just left and the kid, like the parent snaps and goes, shut up, just shut up. And you go, what did that poor kid do? And he goes, what you don't know is this poor little shitty kid has been torture this woman all day. What I think is like, what did that shitty fucking kid do to that poor woman? And they act like that. You kind of get that. You go, You're tired. You're so tired you won't sleep. You're so hungry you won't eat. And you gotta take a shit so bad you won't shit. That's what I'm dealing with my little boy. Like, if you're, if he's constipated. Like, you like 18 prunes. How you constipated? 18 prunes. I fucking saw you, bud. How are you constipated? How's it possible? But yeah, it happens. He's so tired he won't sleep, Chris. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Here, so we'll give the topic on nutrition, but we'll switch over to eating during a competition. We get questions from people all the time about, like, how do you eat during a competition, especially if it's like a 3-day event? Like, what do you do all day long if you have to have a wad in the morning, maybe in the middle of the day, and then again at nighttime? Like, how do you guys manage that? We'll start with Heather.
You know, it depends on how far apart the workouts are. Like today, you know, we didn't really start. We got there at 10, and we didn't have our first workout until 2. And so I just ate, you know, normal. I grabbed a bison burger and some veggies and ate like I would on any other day if I was, you know, at school or at home. But once the workouts get closer together, I try to really keep my stomach a little bit light, not try to be hungry, but at the same time, you know, nothing really, you know, that's going to weigh me down at all. So
what is that usually for you? Like, what are you eating that's light, that doesn't weigh you down? Like, I know some people like to eat like mashed sweet potatoes or something like that. That's easy to digest, easy to take a few bites here and there, but isn't like something heavy, like a bison burger, like you were talking about. Like, what did you eat today?
After the bison burger.
Yeah, right. Like right before that first wad.
Right before the first, I had a banana and a Perfect Foods bar.
There you go. That's right. She tells the truth.
Yeah, and usually some protein too, about a half an hour before I work out.
Okay, and then right after that wad, do you try to get some food in you as soon as possible? That way it's settled before the next wad, or how does that work?
Right after I work out, I don't have much of an appetite, actually. It takes me about an hour to kind of calm down and...
Oh, you're missing that critical carb window and shit.
Yeah, I know.
Science tells us if you don't do that, you die. You don't drink that shake, you fucking die.
Yeah. Then I'll eat something, you know, maybe have some more protein. But usually pretty light. Like tomorrow it'll be light because we have 3 workouts and within like an hour or two of each other. So
you're kind of snacking on fruit and like whey protein.
Yeah, absolutely.
The day.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep. Perfect Food bars, of course.
Of course.
Okay, cool. What about you, Joe?
Yeah, I eat pretty light. My normal training, all.
We're not shoving down, you know, peanut butter and Nutella eating light.
Yeah, well, that's after. Yeah. So, normal day of training is kind of the same as a competition. I'll work out in the morning and then take a little break and then work out again in the afternoon, evening time. So, I just try to eat the same that I do then, which is breakfast. I eat PB&J, glass of milk.
That's beautiful.
Then I usually come back from the gym. I'll have, you know, some kind of sandwich. And then I'll go back, work out again.
Girl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Always sandwiches. And then and then in the evening is when I just, whatever I feel like. You know, a lot of meat, a lot of carbs, sugars, everything.
Not only are you young, but you sound like a bachelor.
I'm a bachelor in college.
I'm getting married in June.
See, so. Oh, yeah. You're a bachelor.
You guys ever been to Tom and Chi in Cincinnati?
No.
It's the grilled cheese fast food place. They have the grilled cheese donut, which is like one of the most delicious things I've ever eaten in my whole life.
Really? Wow.
If I'm ever there, I'm going to get that.
Donut? It's so amazing.
No, it sounds good. It fucking sounds really good.
It's incredible.
I had
plug
my doubts.
For Tom and Chi, but we went to the one in...
Cincinnati.
And we went to the one in Louisville.
Describe the construction.
We were in Kentucky when we went. There's 2 of them, I think, at this point.
I don't know where we were.
Well, anyway. But
we're between Memphis and Columbus. I know that.
That's right. Driving to Columbus, probably for the Arnold. But anyway, yeah, we got a grilled cheese donut, which was amazing. It's incredible.
That's the ultimate cheat meal.
If you're in Cincinnati or Louisville or wherever that one is in Kentucky, go to Tom and Chi, get a grilled cheese donut.
How they make
it'll change your life.
How do they make that? I've seen it made where you cut the donut in half and you flip it around and you grill the formerly inner part.
We were eating it, Chris, not making it.
No. Listen to me. It was a maniac. The fans at home all know how to make it themselves, right? So I know you can cut it in half and flip it around and that way all the sugar parts on the inside and you put your cheese there and you can like griddle it. How'd they make it? How was it presented to you? Or was it like 2 donuts
exactly
with
remember.
Cheese?
All I remember that it was
donut
beautifully salty and sweet at the same time and crunchy but doughy. Like they all the
they
ranges.
Bacon on it. I think they put bacon on it too or something. It was crazy. It was so crazy good. It was Yeah.
You could eat probably 45 of
them. To be fair.
Yeah, I would. Yeah,
to be
I
fair,
anything
like,
with cheese.
The flavors were so strong, it probably was like extra good. The fact that I just had like a bite or two and we shared one. Like, you know, if something has like a really strong flavor, it's like really good for a couple of bites, but then it's like overwhelming. Like if you get like a really strong chocolate cake or something like that.
It's too rich.
Kind of like that. It's too rich to eat a lot of it, but for a few bites, it's unreal.
Something like that is best at 3 a.m. after you come out of the club. You know what? I'm going to die if I don't eat that. I'm going to fucking die if I don't eat that thing.
It's a show.
3 a.m. I'd fight over one of those.
Yeah, for sure. All right, guys.
That's my new favorite cheat meal.
We're going to wrap this up. You guys have anything you want to promote before we go away? Gyms, websites, blogs.
Political parties.
Facebook pages.
Recipes.
Do not promote a political party unless I agree with it.
You know, just my sponsors, Perfect Blue Bars. I'm sponsored by Pursuit RX, which is a diamondized line just for CrossFit. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, it's fairly new. It's pretty great.
Cool.
Yeah, so, and Reebok, obviously.
And the precious little second graders who you love so much.
And, yes. Yes.
Which you'll probably say, don't watch that because they say show. Fuck the whole time.
Well, I teach at Christian school,
savvy.
So new. But
kids
that'll
are
be
savvy.
You teach where?
At a Christian school, so probably. They won't be watching this.
I hope not.
When the mom's going to be Googling your name.
I won't be teaching anymore.
We're really good at Google search. Sorry.
That's right.
The fat one says fuck a lot. I know. He's confused about where he's going in life and what he's doing.
Right. It'd be like the Columbus Times. Barbell Shrug gets Heather Welsh fired from teaching job.
Yeah. That'd be amazing.
That'd be good for us. We'd get good ratings.
That's right.
Bad for the kids, good for us. We'll take it.
All right, Joe.
Check out my athlete Facebook page. That's all I got. I need to promote it.
Yeah, you post a picture of your daily PB&J there. You should do that.
Yeah, you know,
do
actually,
that? I'll follow
my,
if you do that.
I think my most recent picture is of Nutella, peanut butter, jelly and bread.
Hell yeah.
And it's like, it's all I got for this weekend.
See, I'm so excited. Store, I would hit the share button. I would just hit the share button.
Yeah.
God bless
that's
you.
What
God
I need.
Bless you and your young, pristine metabolism. I'm fucking so jealous of that shit. I'll be 585 pounds if I ate that every morning.
All right, Joe. All right, Heather. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Very pleasant.
Appreciate you guys. It was fun. Thank
Cheers.
You.